It looked like a slow place to us. But that was before they buried Shotgun Cheatham. He might have made it unnoticed all the way to the grave except for his name. The county seat newspaper didn't want to run an obituary on anybody called Shotgun, but nobody knew any other name for him. This sparked attention from some of the bigger newspapers. One sent in a stringer to nose around the Coffee Pot Cafe for a human interest story since it was August, a slow month for news. The Coffee Pot was where people went to loaf, talk tall, and swap gossip. Mary Alice and I were of some interest when we dropped by because we were kin of Mrs. Dowdle's, who never set foot in the place. She said she liked to keep herself to herself, which was uphill work in a town like that. Mary Alice and I carried the tale home that a suspicious type had come off the train in citified clothes and a stiff straw hat. He stuck out a mile and was asking around about Shotgun Cheatham, and he was taking notes. Grandma had already heard it on the grapevine that Shotgun was no more, though she wasn't the first person people ran to with news. She wasn't what you'd call a popular woman. Grandpa Dowdle had been well thought of, but he was long gone. That was the day she was working tomatoes on the Black Iron Range, and her kitchen was hot enough to steam the calendars off the wall. Her sleeves were turned back on her big arms. When she heard the town was apt to fill up with newspaper reporters, her jaw clenched. Presently she said, "I'll tell you what that reporter's after. He wants to get the horse laugh on us because he thinks we're nothing but a bunch of hayseeds and no-count country people. We are, but what business is it of his?"
"Who was Shotgun Cheatham anyway?" Mary Alice asked.
"He was just an old reprobate who lived poor and died broke," Grandma said. "Nobody went near him because he smelled like a polecat. He lived in a chicken coop, and now they'll have to burn it down." To change the subject, she said to me, "Here, you stir these tomatoes and don't let them stick. I've stood in this heat till I'm half cooked myself." I didn't like kitchen work. Yesterday she'd done apple butter, and that hadn't been too bad. She made that outdoors over an open fire, and she'd put pennies in the cauldron to keep it from sticking. "Down at the Coffee Pot, they say Shotgun rode with the James boys."
"Which James boys?" Grandma asked.
"Jesse James," I said.
"And Frank?" "They wouldn't have had him," she said. "Anyhow, them Jameses was Missouri people.
They were telling the reporter Shotgun killed a man and went to the penitentiary."
"Several around here done that," Grandma said, "though I don't recall him being out of town any length of time. Who's doing all this talking?"
"A real old humped-over lady with buck teeth," Mary Alice said.
"Cross-eyed?" Grandma said. "That'd be Effie Wilcox. You think she's ugly now, you should have seen her as a girl, and she'd talk you to death. Her tongue's attached in the middle and flaps at both ends."
Grandma was over by the screen door for a breath of air.
"They said he'd notched his gun in six places," I said, pushing my luck. "They said the notches were either for banks he'd robbed or for sheriffs he'd shot."
"Was that Effie again? Never trust an ugly woman. She's got a grudge against the world," said Grandma,
who was no oil painting herself. She fetched up a sigh.
"I'll tell you how Shotgun got his name. He wasn't but about 10 years old, and he wanted to go out and shoot quail with a bunch of older boys. He couldn't hit a barn wall from the inside, and he had a sty in one eye. They were out there in the pasture without a quail in sight, but Shotgun got all excited being with the big boys. He squeezed off a round and killed a cow. Down she went. If he'd been aiming at her, she'd have died of old age eventually. The boys took the gun off him, not knowing who he'd plug next. That's how he got the name, and it stuck to him like flypaper. Any girl in town could have outshot him, and that includes me."
Grandma jerked a thumb at herself. She kept a 12-gauge double-barreled Winchester Model 21 behind the woodbox,
but we figured it had been Grandpa Dowdle's for shooting ducks.
And I wasn't no Annie Oakley myself, except with squirrels.
Grandma was still at the door, fanning her apron. Then in the same voice she said,
"Looks like we got company. Take them tomatoes off the fire."